Rock is joining us. She's been on the program numerous times.
From the old hometown.
Yes, Enfield, CEO of the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence. She wants to talk about services that are needed for victims and how there's always someone to talk to. And we've talked to Karen numerous times on the show. Karen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
How is everything at the farm?
It is fine. Moving along.
Karen, what is new? What is on your mind at a very valuable organization, the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence? What has been happening?
Well, it's been a busy year, as you can imagine. In 2018, our most recent FY statistics are telling us that we're still helping more than 38,000 victims of domestic violence in 1 year.
38,000?
38,000.
Mm-hmm. So that's nearly 40,000 victims annually who seek shelter or advocacy in the court system or counseling in the community, help with getting a restraining order. That's still a very significant number for the state of Connecticut. And while we are, you know, really pleased that these services are in place, it still continues to be a huge challenge to grapple with. Shelters continue to be at more than 123% capacity all the time in our state. That's up 1% from the previous year. And what that means is that there are so many families that are seeking shelter and safety through because of domestic violence that we are putting families in family child care rooms and family rooms in these shelters to be able to keep them safe.
Wow.
Are you making any progress in the, Karen, in the effort to get women, and men sometimes, but to get women to come forward and to report this and do something about this? Because I know that's oftentimes half the battle.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, we know that domestic violence is the most underreported crime in our country. But what we also know is for each individual, it's a process. And so what we want people to know is that services and help are available 24/7 whenever they feel that they are at a time when they need some help. And I know this might sound strange to you, but you know, a lot of people stay. They stay in these relationships, and they stay for various reasons. They might love this person. Perhaps they have children with this person. They might be financially in a situation where it's easier said than done. And so we know that people stay. And so we've really shifted our practice over the past year or two to acknowledge that we don't always need to talk about leaving. What we need to talk with about people is their safety. How do we keep people safe and safer given their circumstances and given where they're at in terms of their life?
You know, I remember several years ago that I went to one of the shelters. Nobody knew where it was, because they were so afraid that those women would be attacked. Do they still have those shelters today?
Yeah, so there are 18 domestic violence providers in the state of Connecticut, and they each offer a form of safe housing, primarily in the form of shelters. And so we had more than 1,000 adults and nearly 1,000 children in domestic violence shelters in the state of Connecticut last year. But what we also know is that it's not just the shelters that are, you know, people don't always need shelter. In some cases they do. But in other cases, there's ways that we can be helpful around keeping people safe where they are or helping transition them to a different place so that they are not necessarily utilizing shelter in particular. We have a really interesting housing proposal before the U.S. Department, HUD, where we've partnered with the housing community around something called rapid rehousing, and that's assistance with rent and utilities to keep people in their home, keep them safe, without having to go through the process of shelter necessarily, which is always an option, but for some people it can make them homeless.
Karen, in about the minute we have left here, what do you want to see initially for your group, say, from this governor and this session of the General Assembly as far as domestic violence funding?
Well, this governor has been very out front in terms of women's issues and support for women's issues. And in particular, in his policy agenda that he released during the campaign, he talked about workplace policy for domestic violence victims. And so we are looking forward to working with his administration and rolling that out, hopefully, within state agencies.
Well, again, great to have you with us on the radio. And, you know, it is just every time we hear, it is absolutely so shocking that the state of Connecticut has such a tremendous problem with these women and children. It's just horrible.
But it's a serious, complex issue, but the good news is help is available, and we encourage people to reach out.
Thanks, Karen. Appreciate it.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it, and never hesitate to call us. We're always here for you.
You're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Karen Jarmock, CEO of the Connecticut Coalition Against Domestic Violence, a regular here on the show, Brad, and it's a problem that never really goes away. It ebbs and flows, but unfortunately,
that's a statement.
Yeah, it you know, they make a little bit of progress here with getting women, mainly women, some men, but getting women to come forth and get out of these horrible relationships where guys just get violent and it's just awful. I could never put my hands on a woman.